So today with me, I have Rob Dublay, the Managing Director of Havas ECS. And for those of you that are wondering what ECS stands for, it is the Endocannabinoid Science vertical within Havas, the large French advertising conglomerate. Rob, it is such a pleasure to have you on the line with us today, as I've known you for quite some time. We've been following each other's careers through pharmaceuticals and advertising, and the both of us had a tenure at Omnicom and in headquarters managing the healthcare conglomerate of Omnicom. And so it's just so fun to have seen that you have joined this industry as I have recently. So what I'd love for you to tell our listeners is just a little bit about, you know, who you are and what you're doing today, and how did you get into cannabis?
Yeah, well, Cece, this is a pleasure, and thank you for having me on this podcast. It's a pleasure to talk about the topic and talk with you. So who the heck am I? As you kind of preambled there, I'm a pharmaceutical industry sales and marketing person for about 12 years. Launching three drugs in about 6 years at one point when I was a little bit younger. And then 15 years in the, delivering back to clients that advice and experience in the form of communications, first in one agency and then, like you, Cece, working at a large group, trying my best to lead and to manage really diverse and specialist businesses. How did I get into this cannabis space? I had left Omnicom. I was an entrepreneur focused on mobile technology and patient-reported outcomes data collection. And my son, Trevor, turned me on to the idea that hemp and marijuana were two different things. And I was thinking I was being bamboozled, honestly. And I said, you know, I went to high school. I know those are the same thing. He goes, Dad, it's not the same thing. And he explained. And I read, and I got intrigued. I read more. He got me booklets. I talked to people. And before you knew it, I had created a CBD products formulary with data tracking that one thing led to another. And I was able to receive reimbursement for some of those products with the data. So I knew there was something there. That answers your question. That's how I got lured kind of into it by my son.
So it's so funny. It took me a good 6 weeks as I started in this industry before I really understood the differences between the marijuana and the hemp side. I thought cannabis was, you know, all encompassing, and it's amazing how many people don't recognize that cannabis is really the umbrella term, and marijuana is CBD that has a THC level above 3%. And then to your point about hemp, you know, the beauty of hemp is that there is, and it's bred, and the seeds are bred, and the plant is made to ensure that there's no THC in it. And it's used primarily for food, fiber, and fuel. And it's just interesting that you learned from your son. And, you know, it took a good 6 weeks here before my colleagues at Gateway Proven Strategies and the Home and Law Group hit me over the head to say, all right, this is the reality of the situation. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, for sure.
So one of my passions in bringing into this industry is finding a way to be able to legitimize the industry so that it has the opportunity for it to get the right acceptance, the right understanding, and ultimately the right scale of utilization in health and wellness, as well as for textiles from a hemp perspective and other things. I'd love to understand what it is that you're doing now that not only helps on the health and wellness side, but really brings the legitimacy and a future acceptance into the industry.
Well, let me first provide a big caveat for those listening that the interest of Havas ECS, my personal interest, and I think the interest of the folks that we serve and that work for us is the intersection of medical. And when we say medical, we're not referring to self-treatment. That can be medical too. But when we say medical, we're referring to the world of reimbursement in medical care and acknowledgement of treatments being effective. And sometimes when they're effective, they're paid for. Sometimes when they're not effective, they're not paid for. That's the kind of the ethos we bring. The type of firm we are, we're a firm that focuses on training of physicians to this brand new standard. It's a 50-state standard that we're part of a coalition. And that with that standard, you can break down the kind of the parochial 34 states and 5 territories and their arbitrary, well-intentioned, but arbitrary and all different qualifying medical cannabis conditions. So with the focus on the clinician, not a support staff, but the actual diagnostician that gets paid by the insurer to treat people, we can bring that missing link into a clinician's practice. And when I say missing link, it's still not the practice of endocannabinoid science, which includes prescription medicines, medical cannabis, and the hemp-based products you mentioned, Cece. Most medical schools, first of all, don't even mention it, and only about 9% do it to any degree. So this lack of consistency, imagine if a pediatrician treated a fever different in Florida versus California. We wouldn't probably call that pediatrics, would we?
No.
So the consistency, whether it's a McDonald's hamburger, it's consistency of service that creates value. And that's what medical cannabis companies are figuring out one state at a time. Problem is, we're on a single state operating model.
And that causes a significant challenge when, you know, science is predicated on bringing novel data to life. And ultimately, the acceptance by clinicians at the local level. And so it's fascinating that you identified two immediate pain points that I see. And one is around the acceptance of insurance or lack thereof when it comes to cannabis. And the second is around the lack of education at the academic level. Can you help me understand a little bit about those pain points and how those need to change?
Sure. So just jumping back to my personal anecdote of receiving reimbursement from workers' comp insurance for non-THC cannabis products. I'll leave it there. I realized that there's more than one path for reimbursement. There was the traditional path that I was raised on, which was two well-controlled clinical studies and a lot of pre-work on what the market will be like when you hit the market, and hopefully you've accounted for everything, and lots of patients benefit with safe use. And that safe use happens on top of doctors already trained in their specialty. The issue here with this whole cannabis space is there's no specialty. There's no competency that one colleague can talk to another and speak to some standard, like an accountant can, like a lawyer can. And physicians, because of the state nuances and the protection of their licenses, they're not really able to do that. So when it comes down to reimbursement, what I saw in my business before joining Havas was that the doctor's knowledge still is king. Those reimbursements for CBD products that I was able to secure on behalf of doctors' patients wasn't after the first try. Most specialty products or off the roster products are immediately rejected. And then there's an appeal. And then they're rejected again. And over a period of a few weeks, we figured out the process to shorten 2 or 3 rejections down to 1 and get it to approve in the first call based upon the doctor's assertions and ultimately the doctor's taking care of that patient. So when there's an NDA and you can get reimbursement, that's great. The drug company did it for you. It's not, it's still prior auth world, and you'll still have some hassles on getting Epidiolex approved sometimes because of its relatively narrow indication. That's a prescription cannabinoid. But for really this world of reimbursement, what I saw is separate from FDA approval, wheelchairs are reimbursed, crutches are reimbursement, ramps into people's homes are reimbursed. There's a different type of reimbursement based upon if it works, we'll pay for it, but they leave that up to the doctor. So in between those two spaces, there's a thing that we saw called endocannabinoid science, that if the PharmDs and the PBMs knew it, they wouldn't be thinking so much about whether it was medical cannabis or a prescription cannabinoid. They'd be thinking about the mechanisms of action in the clinical data. And most of the clinical data is not about branded pharmaceutical products. So that's really the pivot to saying, well, what if the evidence became the compendium, became the DUE, DUR for the PharmD to adjudicate cannabis claims, but there's still a problem. The average doctor doesn't know how to prescribe cannabis. So that PBM reimbursement idea needs to tie to networks of physicians consistently trained to some standard. And that's the aha, and that's why Havas DCS is a reimbursement education and brand communications agency, because all of those things really need to fit together if you're going to be successful.
So, Rob, thank you so much for that thorough path to understanding the importance of this. What have been the biggest roadblocks that you have come across since you started ECS as it relates to the objectives that you want to see happen within the industry?
You know what? There's so many different types. I think the first type, maybe the first order, is what you and I encounter, just a dissonance, right? How many times have things that are illegal become part of mainstream medicine? How many times have things that are criminal been recommended by physicians? So it's a dissonance that needs to get overcome. So the most common obstacle would be, and I don't mean this in a condescending or negative way in any way, but just genuine, pure ignorance. And that ignorance can be tied to religion. In my last business, I remember calling on a doctor in Flemington, New Jersey, and I pulled out the catalog of the formulary products that she was a gastroenterologist. I said, well, and she made a motion, and we went over to the corner, and she said, we don't want these type of people coming to our practice. Thanks for stopping by. So there was an assertion on her part in her brain that what I was talking about was bringing some type of illicit activity to her office. And I was actually showing her a clinical paper from the medical journal tied to her specialty. So that dissonance isn't just solved with a conversation. It's almost political. There needs to be a persuasion to get them there. And their peers, as physicians, are probably the most powerful channel. There's a limit to what you can argue somebody into, but a peer influence from a Harvard, from a Temple University, from a Jefferson program in Philadelphia, that's what's really changing things.
Well, it's so wonderful to have found you at this time of your journey in your professional career, as I'm seeking into this industry myself, and I'm just so excited to have found a partner in crime to help us figure out how to legitimize this industry and bring the health and wellness benefits that this plant has to everyone that's out there. And so in closing, if there was one thing you could change in this industry today, what would it be?
Well, it's a little tongue in cheek, but it's not designed to get you a laugh. But if there's one thing I'd change about the medical cannabinoid industry, which includes prescription and medical cannabis, I'd say get rid of the pot leaves, please. Get rid of them from your events. from your webinars, and focus instead on the discussion of the science. When you think about medicine and botanicals, it's not a new thing, but you look at a company like Bayer, they didn't create aspirin as the leading brand that it still is here in 2020, by over-associating it with salicin from willow tree bark. It doesn't make any sense. And since all those pot leaves connect to the stigma that the medical cannabis industry is trying to really emancipate itself from and be considered legitimate, please, if you're calling it marijuana, call it cannabis. If you have pot leaves on any of your imagery, get rid of them yesterday. And that's the one thing I would change.
Well, Rob, it's been a pleasure having you on the Hoban Minute today. We thank you very much for your contributions to the industry, and we look forward to keeping in touch with you.
DC, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me be a part.
Take care, Rob.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Hoban Minute. Do you have any ideas for episode topics or guests? We would like to hear from you. Reach out to us at media@hoban.law, and stay tuned for more on the Hoban Minute.